So Lord, we need you. We trust you today. So there are so many needs present in this room today, Lord. So many various needs that we all have. Some of us come with brokenness and concerns and troubles in our family. Others of us come rejoicing and happy in Jesus, Lord. But we all need you. We need you every hour. And we thank you, Lord, for Brittany and the choir sharing with us today. We need you. We love you. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do, that we might have life in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, speak to us today now from your word and help us now as we hear your word that we might respond to it and be the people you want us to be. Thank you for your blessed Holy Spirit and your presence here with us. Now, speak to us now as your family. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. Good to see you. 2 Timothy, if you'll find that in the back of your New Testament. This is Paul, the apostle, writing to one of the younger generation. His name was Timothy, and Timothy helped him in much of his ministry life and his work. And so we want to understand a little bit more about our sacred trust today as a church. Now, while you're finding that, one of the things that and if you're a guest with us here today, we're delighted to have you. Hope that you'll come back and be with us. And if you will come by and say hello to my wife and myself back here to your right out the doors to your right and down the hall, Guest Central. I'd love to meet you. We'd love to get acquainted with you. Now, guests, if you're here with us, forgive us for just a moment. We're going to take just a moment here because one of the things we do in our church is every year. So getting done what we do around here, we have our budget needs for our church. And so every year, we come to December, and that's when our church votes on our budget on Sunday morning, and we'll do that in the middle of December. What I want us to do and what we're doing a little bit differently this year is trying to explain a little bit more about the different parts of our ministry and our work, where it's not just a numbers sheet and a budget page, but you know the story of what we do. Lots goes on here, and the tithes and offerings and commitment of the membership of First Baptist Church is an amazing, wonderful thing. And our church is famous for giving like Jesus, as I call it, and providing tithes and offerings. So for just a moment, before we go to 2 Timothy, a part of our sacred trust is not only telling others about Jesus, but also worshiping the Lord with our tithes and offerings and giving, and that's what we do. So listen to this video for just a moment, and then we'll come back and look at God's Word.
Hello, I'm Steve Shepherd, Associate Pastor of Worship and Music at First Baptist. It is the mission of our church to be committed to follow Jesus, love others like Jesus, and tell the world about Jesus. As a ministry team, we strive to be available, accessible, helpful, and touchable in all areas of ministry. Our mission scripture passage is found in Mark 3, verses 13 and 14.
And he went up on the mountain and summoned those he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach.
This year, in an effort to explain the budget implications on the various areas of ministry at First Baptist, we have created this video to highlight four major components of our 2017 budget. These areas include giving to follow, giving to love, giving to tell, and giving to support.
We offer Sunday school classes to all age of adults from college through seniors. Our youth department offers Sunday school classes to students in grades 6 through 12. Our child development center and pre-K ministries offer child care services and early childhood education to both church families and members of our community in a Christian setting. Although the CDC and pre-K programs are ministries of the church, they also have their own individual budgets totaling nearly $1 million. In addition to our Sunday school and early childhood development opportunities, we have discipleship classes designed to help us grow in our walk with Christ and to enable us to spread the gospel to our community.
At First Baptist, we believe worship through music has the ability to comfort to teach, to inspire, and to glorify God. The combination of music expressed in worship to the Lord is a powerful force with the potential to have an everlasting effect on every life it touches. For these reasons, we place a high value on the worship and music ministry at First Baptist Church. Opportunities for musical expression abound for every age.
This includes the worship choir, which is made up of people from all walks of life, bound together with a high calling to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to lead the people of First Baptist in the celebration of our risen Lord. Middle school students through senior adults can also find opportunities to use their musical gifts in the instrumental ministry of First Baptist by playing in the praise band. The praise band accompanies the worship choir and the congregational singing of the church. There are also more specialized areas to serve in the worship and music ministry, including playing handbells and serving on our media and tech teams. This year, our proposed total required budget for 2017 is $2.2 million. The giving to follow portion of this budget comprises 6% of the total, or $125,650.
So we have a stewardship responsibility to take care of all the ministries of our church. This church does this every year. So each week we'll tell you a little bit more about the ministry life of our church. One other thing, on Thanksgiving, if you're here in this area and your family, you're part of our church membership, your family, you don't have any other family here for Thanksgiving, come join my wife Pat and me. We'll be here on Thanksgiving Day, 1 o'clock, back in the fellowship hall. We'd love to have you come join us. Just come be with us. Let us know at the church if you're coming. Last year we had 50 of our church members who are here who don't have family and didn't necessarily have a place to go. So come be with us. We'd love to have Thanksgiving with you. All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. If you'll stand now in honor of the reading of God's word. We read in 2 Timothy, Paul talking to this younger pastor about the responsibilities of what I call the sacred trust. Notice what he says. Some of these words are very important. Verse 13, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. And then in chapter 2, verse number 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 2 is the focus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others. Now, Lord, speak to us from your word. Thank you for this opportunity to be together as your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So our sacred trust has to do with specific words. So I want to talk to you today. For some of you, this is a review. You've been involved in a Baptist church with our traditions and our methods most of your life. But there are others who are part of our church who are new to these things and the way that we carry out our work. Well, today we conclude talking about our sacred trust. God has given us a sacred trust, first of all, for His Word. He has given the sacred trust of His Word to our church. Now, the five chairs that I've had up here on the platform this whole time, if you're new with us, there are five living generations in our church who are members of our church, down to boys and girls that are 9 years old, all the way up to some who are in their 90s. So we have all kinds of ages in our church. We have a responsibility to care for all of those ages and to teach them God's word. That's our sacred trust. So in doing that, I want us to think about today, why do we do what we do here at First Baptist Church in this part of God's family? It's very important. And for some of you, you'll feel like a review. You'll leave saying, well, I already knew that. But I hope to reinforce to you why we do it, even if you already know what we do. And for others of you, this may be brand new for you, and I hope it will help you to understand what we do. Now notice, first of all, God has given the sacred trust of His Word. Now before you get too far away from your Bible, I want you to notice a couple of words. Notice some of these phrases here. Notice in verse 13, retain the standard of sound words, and then notice what Paul says, which you heard from me. And then he says in verse 14, guard through the Holy Spirit the treasure which has been entrusted to you. And then down in chapter 2, verse 2, the things which you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. So as we think about our sacred trust, we think about these, what I call sound words. The Bible calls the words of God, the words of the Bible, sound words. The word sound, we talked about it last week, means healthy or whole. These are wholesome, life-giving words. Listen, I hope you're hearing me today. The most important thing for you to understand is that all we do in our sacred trust as a church is take God's words, His sound words, and share them and preach them and teach them. So everything we do here is surrounding the sound words of God's Word. Now, while we're thinking about these sound words, if you have your Bible still open, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I don't have it on the screen, but verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 reminds us of the essence of these sound words. You see, I'm speaking to you today, and I have spoken to you as your pastor. I've been here for 5 years speaking to you, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, doing my best with the gifts I have to preach God's Word, using my personality as I can, but the focus isn't on me. The focus is on these sound words. What are these sound words? Well, notice what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone advocates a different teaching and does not agree with sound words, and then he defines those sound words. So, Pastor Mike, what are the sound words? Notice he says, the sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching concerning godliness. So when we get together, there's a standard that we speak to. I'm using English words to communicate with you today, doing the best I can to communicate the sound words of the gospel and of a way of living. Now look, folks, this is at the heart of what we do and who we are as God's people. We come together, and all of our gathering here is around this book and its sound words. We are people of the book. We are people who gather here to hear these perfect, sound, wholesome, life-giving words. Now, some of you went to work this week, and you know the difference between healthy and life-giving words and killing words, don't you? You heard some unhealthy words at work this week. You may have heard them out in the store. You may have heard them among some of your friends. You may have read them on a post on Facebook or a text. Unhealthy words. But when we come here and we measure our lives by the standard of sound words. And these are the words of God's Word. And so these words matter to us. Every word and how they're arranged, every book and how it's ordered, but especially what I call the red letter words of Jesus in my Bible, in my New Testament. I love having these red letters in my Bible because it reminds me these are the very recorded words of Jesus that each of the early followers of Jesus recorded for us. These are words of life. These are the words of Jesus. All of God's Word is equally important. But listen, the sound words of Jesus bring life to us. Aren't you glad of that? The sound words of Jesus help me know how to believe on Him, have eternal life, and not perish. Also, the sound words teach me how to live differently. Look, Jesus called us to live holy lives. Jesus called us out of the world. We're not going to live in wickedness anymore. We're not going to live talking the way everybody else talks. We're not going to think and value things the way they value. We're going to live in holiness. So our standard to measure our lifestyles comes from God's word, not from some philosophy or some happy teacher or somebody who has some kind of book to read to us. No, from the standard of these sound words which are found in the Bible. That's why we come here. We make reading, hearing, studying the Bible the center of all we do at First Baptist Church. The second thing I want you to notice is the word in verse 13, retain. The sacred trust of the church is to model these sound words. So when we come together, not only do we, and we've talked about this, among the chairs, the youngest of Christians to the oldest of Christians, the oldest of Christians to the youngest in this church, we're to live out the truths of God's word. That's true, but we need a system, a way of doing what we do. So sometimes we overlook this in church. We forget this idea. The word retain actually means to outline. It was sometimes used to describe a writer who would make a rough draft, you know, with the key points, and then go back and write their material off of the rough draft. It has the idea of a pattern or a structure. Well, we have a structure here. It may seem like everything at First Baptist Church is in chaos, but it's really not. There is a way in which we do what we do. And so for some of you who've been Baptists all your life, you see, you may be like me. You know, before I was ever born again, I was by my parents brought to a Baptist church. So I'm the product of drinking Vacation Bible School, Big Red Kool-Aid, and nasty dry cookies. Here I am. This is it. This is what you got to look at right here. I'm an example of that, but not everybody came from the same Baptist tradition. Some of you came from a church tradition that's different and structured in a different way. So the question would be naturally, so why do we at this church do what we do? Now don't drift away. Stay with me. This is important. Because we have a standard of sound words and we're to retain or have a model or a process by which those sound words are shared. Every week, you pick up one of these guides as you come in. But in this guide, there's a whole section here of announcements or dates and times for different things that go on in the life of this church. There are times when we have what we call Sunday school, or in the morning time, we teach God's sound words in Bible study at all ages. You heard Steve talking about that just a moment ago. At night, you read here that we have disciple life classes where we're learning how to follow Jesus, love one another like Jesus, and tell the world. We again come back to God's word and we learn together how to grow as disciples of Jesus. By the way, no matter how long you've been in church, you need to be growing, you need to be involved. We offer disciple life for all of our people, not just the newest, but for all of you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So you have all during the week, you have things going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and again Sunday. Then we start it over again. And some people have said to me, well, Pastor Mike, you know, some churches, they just have one service on Sunday. They have worship together, and that's where they gather together, and then they go home. That's great. But at First Baptist, that's not our pattern. That's not the way we choose to retain sound words. You know what I believe? I believe you got to have more than one chance to hear God's word and to learn God's word. Did you know that? I believe you got to have multiple opportunities. We have people who drive here from many places all around this area. And so not everybody can come at the same time. We have to offer what we offer in teaching the sound words of God's word at different times. You say, well, my family just lives 4 miles away. That's great. Bless God. You ought to be here all the time then if you only live 4 miles away. We'll count on you to be here every time. And you should when you can. But you see, sometimes people read this and say, oh, I'm guilty because I don't go to church all the time. You're missing the point. I say to our young couples, I say to our senior adults, given your schedule and your ability, look, find a way in the way we carry out church here to equip yourself, to learn God's word, to study God's word, to grow in your relationship with God. That's what we're here to do. That's what this is telling you. It's describing the way we choose to model and train. So if you have boys and girls here who are little tiny children, they haven't come to know Jesus yet, they're not of an age where they could follow Jesus by faith and trust, you've already put them in to the process here at First Baptist Church. They're down there in the bed babies. They're down there in the preschool, already talking about Jesus, already singing about Jesus, already seeing the teachers lifting up a book that has special words in it. So that's what we do. Secondly, we retain the standard of sound words. We have a pattern by which we do what we do. The third thing I want you to see is this, that the sacred trust we have is guarding these sound words. Look in your Bible there. Guard through the Holy Spirit who is in you. Now listen to me, church. Guard by the Holy Spirit who is in us the treasure which has been entrusted. Did you know that there is, if you know Jesus, you've come to know the Lord, you're a part of being in the church, you have come to be one of those who's been entrusted with the sound words of God. What are you doing to guard those words? The psalmist said, I hide your words in my heart. You know what? Some of us hide the wrong words in our heart. Some of us are still hiding in our heart what our parents or someone said to us in an ugly and mean and destructive way. And you replay those words over and over. No, you have to replace horrible, unsound, unhealthy words, listen, for the words of life, for God's word. You must hide God's word in your heart and in your mind. You must think about God's word. You must guard by the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, the treasure you've been given. Listen to me, folks. We forget how special these words are, like treasure. These are the words of life. These are the words of God. When we open this book, it's like no other book. This isn't like your novel that you're reading. This isn't like some book you study at school, like a text. This book is filled with living words, the very words of God. We believe these words, we believe they're inspired. They were given by God. He spoke them. They've been written for us by all kinds of people in all kinds of generations and ages, but they all point to Jesus and to holy living, and so we're to guard it. Now, Jesus said one time that when someone stands, like I'm doing right now, and speaks about God's word, it's like somebody who sows seed, takes seed and puts it out, distributing seed. And some of the seed falls on one kind of soil, the rock. Some of it falls on thorny ground. Some of it falls on stony ground. Some of it falls on good ground. Different kinds of soil. Jesus said, the way you hear God's word is important. Now, again, I read it to you earlier. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard. Now, this is a scary thought, but I want you to think about it. I'm looking around. I know who's in this middle hour, most of you. What if we could take a computer cord and plug it into your brain and put on a screen all the different preachers you have heard in your lifetime preach God's word? You say, oh, well, I don't even remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. Well, you've heard a lot of things about God's word. I try to say this to you every time when we're together. Did you know you're responsible for what you hear? Oh, Lord, you know, you die, you go to be before the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord says, well, didn't Pastor so-and-so talk about that? Well, you know, Lord, I had a long life and I got to where I couldn't remember things. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. When you come, hear. Jesus said, If you hear these words of mine and you act on them, this is in Matthew chapter 7. You can go back and read at the end of one of his famous talks to disciples. He says, if you hear these words of mine and you act on them, are you listening? When you hear these sound words taught by a teacher or preached by a preacher, you and I are responsible for what we hear. The Bible says, be a doer of God's word, not a hearer only. So listen to me. You have been in, I'm trying my best to do something here. I'm trying to challenge you and ask you, are you guarding the words you've heard? Or as soon as the sermon or the Bible teachings, you know, this is how I know in my life I have not guarded God's word. Sometimes I've been in church, I've heard somebody preach. As soon as I got in the car, I started telling Pat something about what I didn't like, and I started griping about something in church. Boy, did I miss it. Boy, did I miss it. I wasn't guarding God's word. I didn't even pay attention to it. I had other things to talk about. I had other things to complain about. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you the treasure. Some of you have been privileged to hear great godly preachers and teachers for years, and now you have a treasure inside of you. Look, what you hear, you respond to it and you live by it. That's what we learn to do as God's people. Oh, I could go on, but I got to get to the last thing here. The last thing has to do with sharing what we learn. So somebody gave me something. Somebody taught me God's word as I was growing up. Somebody was some people. Some people taught me God's word. They did what 2 Timothy 2:2 describes. Now, this is at the heart of the sacred trust, those five chairs. This is our responsibility. I talked to you who are parents here previously, and I said that if you're a believer in Jesus and you're a godly parent, you have a responsibility to tell your children about God's word. But the church, this is the church's side. The church joins in because not everybody comes from a godly family. So, you know, here we read Paul's words, you therefore my son. See, Timothy had a dad who was a Greek, but he wasn't a believer. He had a mother who was a Jew, and she believed on Jesus, and also his grandmother who was a Jew, his mother's mother, and they believed on Jesus along with Timothy. And all of a sudden, as time came along, Paul found Timothy. He found him to be somebody who would listen to God's word and learn and do it. And guess what he did? He became his spiritual father. So some of us in here have been blessed the same way. You know, the church in many times and in many ways becomes a parent, a spiritual parent to many of us. So I grew up in a family that was, my family were Baptists by history. My family were Baptists by that, and in the early days when I was growing up, we went to church periodically. I'm not criticizing my family. My mom and dad did the best they could with what they knew and where they were at in their own spiritual life, but I didn't have any, it was up to me to go to church after a while. I had to decide on my own if I would go to church after I was about 12 years old. So all of a sudden, I go to church. I chose to go to church because there's something about the words. There's something about this place where I lived. I would go there. The people were different. Well, along the way, you know, Pastor Damon Shook came into my life and my youth minister, Gary Ayler. And I heard, and I wasn't always cooperative. I wasn't always listening. I wasn't always where I ought to be in my spiritual life. But I was there and I was hearing in the presence of many witnesses. Oh, by the way, hate to tell you this today, but other people see that you're in church today. You've been witnessed as being at church. You've been spotted. So what did you hear? Did you just listen to Pastor Mike drone on like a fan blowing in your house until he finally turns it off? What did you hear? You see, the Bible tells us that the heart of a sacred trust is to do something, to entrust to somebody else what's been entrusted to you. Now, all my deacon friends in here, I ask you, who's your Timothy? I understand you're trying to get the pastor straightened out, and he needs all the help he can. Just join up with Pat. You can all line up and straighten me out. I'm good with that. I need all the help I can get. But all my deacon friends, all my pastor friends who are part of this church, all my retired pastor friends, all of the Sunday school teachers who are part of this church, who's your Timothy? Who have you found to entrust what you know to them? Oh, Pastor Mike, I'm not qualified. What? Paul says here, the things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, give it to a faithful person. And they'll be able to give it to somebody else. The sacred trust is for me to give to you what I have learned about Jesus and a holy life. What are you doing to invest in someone else? They can be older. They can be younger. Lots of times we read this and we say, well, see, Paul took a younger man and he taught him. Well, that just happens to be this example. But there are many examples of older men being discipled and taught by the younger. You see, all these chairs are together. So as I end this morning, here's the conclusion of sacred trust. Sacred trust means this: I have been entrusted with the sound words of the gospel. I am born again. I know Jesus as my Savior. I'm speaking for all of us who know Jesus. But what amount of your time are you putting in to entrusting what you have learned to somebody else? Did you know that's how the generations of the gospel go? You say, well, Pastor Mike, we're for you. Get in there and do it, man. We're for you. We're for the preachers. We're for you. It takes all of us. It takes us all. It takes us all entrusting the treasure that's in us. You know, what I would desire, I look around this room, what I would desire for some of those who are just starting out as followers of Jesus, they come all the time, but you know, they don't even know where all the books of the Bible are. They don't know how to pray yet. They haven't really learned yet how to tell somebody else about Jesus. They love being a follower of Jesus. They're excited about it, but they need somebody else to help them. They come to the classes up here, but I'm looking around. There are some of you who know so much, but you've not given it to anybody. You kept it to yourself. The church, the sacred trust, is what I have heard in the presence of many I must entrust to others. You see, it takes me time. I got to make a sacrifice to do that. You won't get to do something else if you take some of your time to entrust to somebody over a cup of coffee or teaching a class or whatever else you do. You know, sometimes people say, well, Pastor Mike, I don't know what to do. I mean, how can I help? Find one person, pray with them, walk with them and talk with them and entrust to them what some wonderful people have taught you along the way. That is the definition of the sacred trust. That's the deposit. We deposit in somebody else what they have done for us. So Jesus said this, John 17:8. I'm done with this. Listen. Jesus said, this is in his prayer to God the Father. This is as sacred as you can get. This is God the Son speaking to God the Father in that mysterious relationship in the Godhead. He said, John 17:8, you can look it up sometime on your own. The words you have given me, listen, I have given to them. That is our sacred trust. Who's your Timothy? Who is it that God has placed in your life, church, for you to give them what you have learned? When we do that, the church will be set on fire to share the gospel all around this place. But it's going to take every one of us fulfilling the sacred trust. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for one who came in the 8 o'clock service, who said, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to trust the Lord as my Savior. We thank you for her decision. She'd been coming to this church for over a year, but she came and she publicly said, I am ready to follow Jesus. And she said to me, Lord, help me to know how to follow Jesus. Lord, many others have come here and said the same thing. And so our church has a responsibility, a sacred trust, to entrust to others what we have been entrusted with. Lord, I pray for some of my friends who are sitting back, who are in the margins right now, who need to step forward and say, I'm ready to help, Pastor Mike. Lord, I'm ready to help. Entrust sound words to others. I'm ready to help. What do you want me to do? Lord, I pray you'd call out more of our people to carry out this work of entrusting to others the sound words of God's word, and help us as we disciple our people here. Lord, you told us to go and make disciples, baptize them and teach them. So Lord, that's what we're trying to do. Show us if we need to do it better. Show us if we need to do it in another way. And bring to people all around, bring to our mature ones here who follow Jesus, someone that they might take and entrust to them what they have learned from you. Stir in our midst, Lord. And from this, I believe we'll be pleasing to you as a church. Help us to understand our responsibilities toward one another among the generations. Bless the generations of this church, both now and in the days ahead, as we hold to the standard of your sacred words. In Jesus' name we pray. So if you're here this morning and you need to come make a public decision to trust Christ, we want you to do that. If you need to join this church, come on, I'll be here. We'd love to talk to you about that. So stand with me, and as we stand this morning, we're going to sing, Without Him I Could Do Nothing. Come on down, take one of our pastors by the hand and say, look, I'm ready to come. Balcony or below, come on.
Without Him I could do nothing.
Anybody need to come?
Without Him I'd surely fail. Without Him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail.
Anybody need to come this morning?
Oh, Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away. Oh, Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be.
All right, would you bow your heads, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. So here's what I ask you every week. So what spiritual thought are you having right now? Not thoughts about what you got to do this afternoon. Not thoughts what you got to do next week in your schedule and your family. What spiritual thought are you having right now? Is the thought that I'm not as close to Jesus as I ought to be? Well, that's a spiritual thought. Is the thought I'm not praying and studying God's word like I should? Is the thought I've forgotten what I've been taught? Is the thought I've been rebellious and disobedient to God? Or is the thought, thank you, Lord, you've forgiven me, you've given me a new opportunity, and you give me the chance to follow Jesus? Well, this is a serious time for us. You've heard now again God's words. What do you do with them? We wait just quietly for a moment. Anybody else need to come? Thank you very much. Would you be seated, please, for a moment? We want to introduce one who's coming. Don't forget tonight, Lori's up here playing on the piano. She does this. I mean, all of our children's choirs. Would you say thank you to Lori Shepherd and all of her workers? You need to be here tonight. It'll be a blessing to see all of our boys and girls. They'll be singing about Jesus, and it'll be a great time. So be here tonight for our service. And Ken, we have some who are coming. So let's introduce these who are coming.
Well, today, church family, we have TJ and Kayla Jackson. If you'll come on up here with us, we're so excited to have them with us. They've been coming to our church for about 2 years now, visiting off and on, and they come by statement. They both say they've accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. And so we're excited. If you join them and welcoming them to our church and being part of our church family. If you could just raise your hand and acknowledge that.
Amen. 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 God bless you. Let's say thank you to them. You guys, come on over here. Come on over here. All right. One of the things we do, we're so glad you guys are here. All right. You know, if you come here long enough, sometimes people say, I thought you were already a member. So we know who you are, by the way. We just want you to come be a part of the church when the Lord leads you. But anyway, let's stand together, and if you will come by and say a word to them. One of the things we do around here is on our way out, we come by, introduce ourselves. Now, it's your job to remember everybody's name who's going to come by here.
Why do you think I go by TJ?
Yeah, that's right. He goes by TJ for that very reason. But come by church, say a word to our new family members. We're honored they're here. And let's sing together the doxology. God bless you. See you tonight.